Welcome to the online message. Very similar message that I will bring Sunday morning in person at Bethel Hope and Pray. If maybe you can make it. We're looking forward to having you sometime soon. But in the meantime, we're so grateful that you tune in to the online service. Well, my question is this. Are you afraid? And if you are afraid, what are you afraid of? Are you afraid of the dark? Well, let's analyze that a little bit in my message today. Our lectionary text for the Gospels this week is in chapter 17, and it says 1 through 9 in the lectionary, but you've heard me mention before, I don't like to take any of the subtitles out of context, so this is about the transfiguration. So I'm going to read all the way up to verse 13. Hear God's Word, New Living Translation. 6 days later, Jesus took Peter and his two brothers, James and John, and led them up a high mountain. And as the men watched, Jesus' appearance changed so that his face shone like the sun and his clothing became dazzling white. Suddenly, Moses and Elijah appeared and began talking with Jesus. Peter blurted out, "Lord, this is wonderful. If you want me to, I will make you three shines." Not shines, shrines. A little like what some translations say, tabernacles or booths. He said, "I will give one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." But even as he said it, a bright cloud came over them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my beloved Son, and I am fully pleased with him. Listen to him." The disciples were terrified and fell face down on the ground. Jesus came over and touched them. Red letter edition said, "Get up, don't be afraid." And when he looked, they saw only Jesus with them. As they descended the mountain, Jesus commanded them, "Don't tell anyone what you have seen until I, the Son of Man, has been raised from the dead." Verse 10. His disciples asked, "Why do the teachers of religious law insist that Elijah must return before the Messiah comes?" Red letter edition again, Jesus replied, "Elijah is indeed coming first to set everything in order. But I tell you, he has already come, but he wasn't recognized, and he was badly mistreated. And soon the Son of Man will also suffer at their hands." Verse 13, then the disciples realized that he had been speaking to them of John the Baptist. May God add his blessings to the reading, the hearing, and the understanding of his holy and precious word. All throughout Scripture, God was talking to his people, even in the Old Testament. Don't be afraid. I always was wondering about the question or the comment when parents would say to us as children, "Don't be afraid of the dark." Now, I don't know about you, but at night when everything is dark, and I was wondering, sometimes I got out of bed to see if there was anything under my bed, but that's just me. But the question is this, are you afraid of the dark? Well, that's what we as parents tell our young children at times, and even ourselves when night falls. Sometimes we feel alone and vulnerable and isolated or plagued by nightmares. And yet, the truth is that most human beings are far more fearful of the light. Now, isn't that interesting? The light, that utterly visible and revealing place in which we cannot hide from, but stand entirely exposed and unveiled, so to speak, makes us both warm and wobbly. And when we stand too fully in the brightness of light, we allow ourselves to be seen in all our flaws. Look closely in one of those lighted mirrors and you'll see what I'm talking about. We feel ourselves laid bare, unprotected, and feeling an unease begins to settle upon us, and fully in the light, we see ourselves as we truly are. But perhaps to bathe in the light for a moment would be glorious, wouldn't it? To stand revealed to God and others within it for any period of time? I think most of us would rather not be in the limelight or the light, or you know what I mean. And when you go to a play, they have those spotlights, and I don't think we want to be on the spotlight, or do we? I think we would rather limit the light, at least enough for us to live the image that we would like to project to God and to others and to the world around us, and even ourselves. Human beings, we're complicated, but we're wonderful, and human beings prefer to live in a world of half-light and shadows. We want to see the light, but we don't want to remain fully exposed within it sometimes, you know. We want to project ourselves into the light bit by bit as we feel safe to do so. Human nature's never changed. Times have changed. Well, we got lights everywhere now. But human nature's never changed because the minds of humans depend largely on images. We create images and how we see ourselves and how we see the world. We project images of ourselves to those around us. The greater the light, the more authentic the image. The more willing that we are being vulnerable. The more we step into light and allow others to see us in a more authentic way, when we feel afraid, we tend to hide in the shadows and retreat to a more protective, womb-like umbrella. Wow. I think in this way we practice the art of imaging. You know, imaging is the way we make sense of our world and ourselves in relationship to the world and others, and God too. It's a way that we comprehend who we are in relationship. You see, all humans, in essence, are instinctive and natural photographers. At our love luncheon this past weekend, Tina brought out her brand new and improved Polaroid camera. And she took pictures of the couples and gave it. They come zip right out the end, and you had to hold it for a while. And then eventually the image appeared. Well, photography is the art of truth and lies. It's telling stories through vision. It's creating an image for our eyes to relish and to know. Through photography, Phil does a lot of that. Look on the website. Look at all the pictures he took. And through photography, we learn to see in ways that we can give us new insights into the world, new insights into each other, and more importantly, new insights into ourselves. Think of the expressions captured by photographs from the past, sadness, joy. All these images and all these emotions crop up when we see a photograph. Think of the beauty of the moon captured in its glory, or in that one heart-shaped leaf remaining on a branch of a dead tree that we otherwise would have missed if it wasn't for the capturing its lone image. We can see a lot of those in this wintertime here in North Florida. A lot of our trees lost their leaves, but every once in a while you'll see one little lone leaf on one of the trees. Wouldn't have seen it if it was in full bloom. And photography is that way. It can hone in on the minute details or pull back to see a vast big picture. It can both blur or intensify an image by using light. Photographs paint with light to help us to pay attention to things that we may be missing. Professional photographers like Phil, although he claims he's not a professional, but only thing it means to be professional is you get paid for what you do. He loves it. But I'll tell you what, he's a true professional. He likes to take pictures. He likes to take nature value, a special time of the day, the golden hour, all the people in the church, and even early dusk sometimes is a good time to take a picture. While the sun is beginning to set, the light turns everything into a beautiful glow. We were in Panama City Beach last week with my sister, and we went to a place on the beach, a club that a friend of hers belongs to, and took us down there, and we sat on the beach in this clubhouse right on the beach and watched the sun gradually fade down into the horizon. Beautiful the glow was. And all those colors blended together, and then imperfections fade away, and the world looks especially beautiful. We love the vision of that golden hour that sunset creates, don't we? I do. And you want to create a romantic evening? What do? You lower the lights and you play some music, and more importantly, you light candles. You dine in the muted glow of a fireside, or say to the restaurant, would you turn the dimmers on and create a golden ambiance in which you'll feel more assertive yet protected from the harshness of full light, protected by reassurance of the dark. Well, anyone who stood in front of a mirror in a bright noonday knows the shock of seeing every line, every imperfection in your face, every flaw in your skin, every gray hair that glints in the sun. Boy, oh, I got a lot of them gray hairs. We would rather see ourselves in the golden light, half dark, half lit, one that we can pretend for a while that we are the vision that we wish to be, instead of the truth that we're not. The truth is, we need the dark. We need the dark of our hiding place, the shade, the half-light, the dusk, the night. We are the dragon. We are the golem. And yet, we are human, and we are beautiful. You see, God created light and dark, shadows and shades and images and eyes and colors. God created us in a way that allows us to have the art of perception and imaging. God created us as human artists. The art of humanness that depends upon the way that we vision and envision. God encourages us toward authenticity, to move more and more into the light. And yet, God also provides shadows to shelter us when we feel afraid. God doesn't force us, but he assures us that if we go towards the light, God, the ultimate artist, uses light in a revolutionary way, sometimes to show us things that we may be missing about God and ourselves and the world that we're allowed to live in. And yet, God provides us places to shelter when the light feels like, you know, just too much to bear. Think about Jonah. Jonah must have felt unsure and angry and grieving and unsure, but God provided a dark womb of a whale and a shade of a tree. Yet God also allowed for the heat of the day to wake him up from his thoughts. When he was daydreaming or contemplating or turned to hiding or brooding. And then when the floods covered the earth, what did God do? He provided Noah with a womb of an ark, but encouraged him back to the land and the light when the storm lifted. What an image. When the Apostle Paul was confronted with the truth and the light of Jesus Christ, he was so taken off guard that it blinded him for a while in order for him to sort through what he had experienced. And after a time, his vision was restored. And yet his image of others had been altered during his time in the dark, sort of like a womb-like muddle of his thoughts. Much like others, Jesus healed. Paul saw when he was ready and able to see. We do the same thing. God is a God of patience and an artist of light and shadows. We need both light and dark. We understand God in our world within the shades of meaning and gradual revelations of truth. In the scripture text today that I read, the disciples are stunned by a vision of Jesus bathed fully in light. In that moment, they were confused and afraid. Their first impulse was to build a sukkah or a marker or something, some kind of enclosure for the light to dwell within so that it wouldn't overtake them. But God's light is too big to be captured or even controlled. It's an encompassing light, the light that envelops Jesus as our own spiritual truth and God in his intimate brilliance. Well, the disciples were faced with this brilliant, pure, encompassing life that are struck for words. Words that are too hard. It's too hard to make sense of some of the things that we have. While the disciples understood that Jesus is the human light, he inhibits and projects. This light was too blinding for them to understand its purity and starkness. It's no wonder that this vision was so brief, because the human mind, in my humble opinion, was not created to experience in our lifetime this kind of unfathomable brightness and revelation. But when it happens, we're overcome. God knows this. Hence comes the words, "Do not be afraid." Now, this phrase seems to put away our fears that occurs 365 times in the stories in our scripture. It's one of the most important and frequent phrases in the Bible. And you wonder why? Well, God knows that faced with this ultimate light, the ultimate revelation, the ultimate truth, even truths about ourselves, are hard for us to handle. Amen? I don't know about you, but it is for me at times. For a brief moment, though, we can experience life-shifting, stunning, revealing flashes of insight. But then we must take time to process what we have seen, to distill the images, and to make sense of the pictures and create a story for ourselves about what it means for us and our lives. Think about the times in your life when you have experienced true life-changing revelations. I think most of our realizations changes in the way that we see things. It alters in our lives, and it comes from making our own way cautiously from the shadow into light. Now, I'd like to think that's why God gives us beautiful sunsets to nudge us, to urge us towards the light in ways that we find inviting and appealing and safe, and more importantly, absolutely beautiful. In the same way, God reveals truth about ourselves and God to us and urges us to stand at least for some time each day in the light. The more we dwell in the light, the more we feel the beauty and the authenticity revealed in our humanness. And the more we project that beauty comfortably in the world and then, more importantly, to others. The truth is, we don't need to come face to face with God in a way the disciples did in Jesus' transfiguration in order to know God. There is a way to understand all of God's glory through the gift and the love of the Holy Spirit. Because Jesus is not here with us in a physical sense, but he said, "I go to be with the Father. I am sending you one greater than I to be with you always, even until the end of the age." But all we need to do is practice coming into the light, in prayer, meditation, confession, in nature, with ourselves and with others, revealing ourselves, exposing ourselves, trusting to change our image of ourselves and others. God and the world, one shade at a time. I love that. God and the world, one shade at a time. And our prayer this week is that may the light be with you. Not the force, like in Star Trek or whatever those other crazy things, but the light be with you. And may you reveal it in its beauty and truth and goodness. And more importantly, don't be afraid. For Jesus is with us, even to the end of the age of grace. In Jesus' precious name, hope and pray you have a wonderful day. God bless.